Welcome to Mastering the Attention Economy Podcast. I'm your host, Ari Lewis. Twice a week, we interview entrepreneurs, executives, and industry leaders on how to break through the noise and capture the audience's attention. Today's guest is Nadav Kaysun. Nadav is the co-founder of Riverside FM, a platform for recording podcasts remotely.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so let's just jump right into it. So, you know, there's tons of podcasting platforms out there. You know, Squadcast comes to mind as one of them. You know, what made you decide, I'm going to start another podcasting platform to help people build?
So the main premise of building Riverside, I built this together with my brother, was there's in 2019, every 2 minutes, there was a new podcast being published. And oftentimes you would see the same guest with the same people. And a lot of content was becoming a bit saturated, I thought so. And one of the most common problems for podcasters is a way to stick out from the crowd and to reach a bigger audience. So we built Riverside with those two reasons, with those two ideas in mind. So one is really growing your audience. So we have some cool features that really allow you to grow your audience. And the second one is really focus on that reliability and quality, because there are other podcast systems out there, but we found those two elements were still missing from the competition.
So you guys have had huge traction and success. You know, what are some of the tactics that have really worked in helping you guys grow the platform to get you to the customer base you have today?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I think it all has to do with timing. We launched the week before Corona. So, and during Corona, two things were happening. One, people were creating more podcasts. And the second thing was people that were already recording podcasts started recording remotely. So I think that was one of the most impactful things for the growth of our business. So, I mean, a lot of times people like come up with all the why their business grew, but I think the market size is very significant for the reason why we've grown so fast. And the second thing is we really focused not that much on marketing, but more on making the product unique. And then word of mouth has been really good for us.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things you talked about is everyone's starting to create a podcast. But I've read a lot that, you know, even though more and more people are creating podcasts, less people are listening to them.
Yes.
Because, you know, they're not traveling and stuff, but that hasn't seemed to hamper you. Do you guys have any insights on sort of, you know, where you think, you know, podcasts are going? Are there too many? Is this sustainable?
Well, if you look at the amount of blogs there are out there, I think we might still be at the infancy of podcasting. I think audio in itself is a very intimate medium. And I think as long as you have really good content and have a niche, you're still actually still have a really good chance to find your audience and grow your podcast. So, of course, if people make a podcast for the sake of having a podcast, it becomes more difficult. But if you have a story to tell, I don't think it matters so much which medium you use. Of course, I think podcasting has a very intimate, but if you write it down in a blog, I think a podcast is very similar in that sense. If you compare it to blogs, there's still a lot of room for growth.
Yeah, and I'm obviously a big fan of your platform. You know, for those listening on the podcast and for those watching on YouTube, we're using Riverside right now. you know, one of the things, and the reason I chose your platform is the video component of it. You know, we see Joe Rogan, you know, he has a video podcast.
Yeah.
Do you see more people, you know, adding that video component?
Yes.
And, you know, why do you think that is like an important aspect to it? Why does that help, you know, draw in an audience and make it a more intimate experience for the viewer?
Well, first of all, I think I'm not so a fan of like one or the other. I think podcasting, YouTube show, at the end, you just want to become like a multi-platform content creator. So, for example, I personally like watching Joe Rogan a lot more than listening to Joe Rogan. So, I think that's also during Corona time, especially, you saw a lot of people started watching stuff more instead of listening to stuff more. And I think, why would you create content and not just try to find every distribution channel out there to leverage? So that has also been why I think video podcasting is going up. People are starting to realize you need to do more to get your podcast out there and get more listeners. So definitely, we see a lot of people choosing our plan with the video instead of the audio only plan.
Yeah, and I guess on that note, with sort of, you know, the video platform, you talked about multiple distribution channels.
Yeah.
You know, do you see it's really important for folks to like break down the videos and that has more, you know, insight in editing, because I think one of the things with long form videos that a lot of audiences I don't think are a fan of is like, oh, I'm gonna go on YouTube and watch like a 25 minute YouTube video. But for an audio podcast, there's like less friction for whatever reason. You know, do you have insights on, you know, I guess why that is, and also like do your customers and do the people who are creating content on your platform have more success in breaking down the videos into smaller segments?
I think breaking down the video in smaller segments is a good way to tease people. So on Twitter and social media, I would recommend, and I've seen that a lot of people have grown their podcast that way. So they publish just a small amount of fragment, and then they link to the entire podcast either on YouTube or on Spotify. So it really depends. Like long form content actually can be more for some people, like can make you stand out if you have like a YouTube show of an hour and you go really in depth instead of all the other people that are only catching the surface. I mean, there's a reason why Joe Rogan is doing so well.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, on Joe Rogan, you know, he signed an exclusive deal with Spotify. So, you know, less people, I guess, might be listening to him, or maybe more. We'll see what happens. Do you envision that a lot of your customers are going to start, you know, having these exclusive distribution deals? You know, do you speak to your customers about you know, adding other tools to help them sort of, you know, try to become the next Joe Rogan as well?
But you know, Spotify also adding video, by the way. So to come back also on that other question, I think video is gonna get more and more important for podcasters out there. But I mean, I think if you look also in the whole like email like list kind of thing, Substack and Spotify doing exclusives, with our own company, we have like some people that have exclusive Spotify, and you see a lot of like platforms trying to get exclusive with podcasters. So I don't have any like long-term idea how that's going to play out. It might be the end of the RSS feed. I'm curious how it's going to play out, but yeah, I think podcasters should not worry too much about which like where to sign with, because normally like it's not really the luxury positions they're in. So just get your content out there, get it onto as many platforms, I would say.
So, you know, you obviously have a lot of insights on you know, the video and audio podcast being created. What has been like, you know, the most or the average duration for most of the podcasts? You know, are most people doing like 10-minute videos, 20-minute videos, you know, an hour? You know, where have you seen most of the recordings end up?
I think the majority of the recordings are around the hour. And then a lot of people are now posting on social media smaller clips. So so they repurpose it into smaller pieces, but originally the content that's being recorded on our platform is around an hour.
So yeah, it's funny. One of the paradox I feel like with podcasting and you know, these video podcasts in general are sort of, you know, newsletters and written content creation. Everyone, it's like super, they want it to be super scannable quickly, but then everyone's okay. Oh, it's an hour podcast. I'm happy to listen to it.
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah.
what's going on with this? Like, why is this ironic sort of, you know, a tension inverse happening in that written content creation is like, it has to be skimmable, but this podcast, you know, it can be an hour and people are really interested in it?
I think it has to do with if audio only, like it's an intimate kind of communication method. And because you can do other things at the same time, you don't really mind listening to a podcast for a longer period of time. Personally, I just sometimes listen to podcasts and don't do anything else. I'm not so good in like doing two things at once, multitasking. So if I can be running and listening to a podcast, I don't know if you can. Can you?
Yeah, no, I can't. And I mean, that's sort of one of the theses that I've been trying to explore in my writing and with this podcast is I have this whole belief around you can really only focus your attention on one thing. And that's why I've been really interested in sort of the growth of your platform, because you guys started so recently and you've just crushed it. And it's interesting that all these people are like interested in creating podcasts, and you know, it continues that this trend of, you know, podcasts are becoming popular again, or maybe more popular than ever is probably the best way to word mm-hmm. it. But our attention and the information out there is as little as possible. So, you know, going back to that, it's ironic.
Yeah, but I personally, like, it's also like, if I look at myself, I do like when people go in depth. Like, of course, when you're on Twitter, it all depends on which platform you're listening to or watching to something. When you're on Twitter, you expect to skim through things. But if you're listening on your couch and to a podcast or on a train, you don't really mind if a person goes in depth and really comes to the core of the essence. But when you're on Twitter, you don't expect that. And for some people, YouTube prefer like 10 minutes, but there are also, I know a YouTube channel that went first from 10 minutes, like very short movies. And then they went to like hour long shows or like between an hour and hour and a half even. And then they started doing much better when they created long form content. So I would say it's really a matter of like experimentation of what your audience likes and also what they expect and on which platform you're posting.
Yeah, and you know, from a platform point of view, you know, I don't know if you've used Clubhouse yet, or like
I didn't audio. I didn't get selected. I'm not that.
Or the Twitter audio feature yet? You know, do you envision maybe like shorter audio podcasts of? So there's this one podcast I listen to, and I've had him on as a guest, Justin Suwa. He has like these 4 minute podcasts, and I really like them. You know, do you see a lot of people? You know, is that something that, you know, you see as a potential trend in the future of like really short form, like 2 minute audio clips?
I saw Nathan Basha. I don't know if I pronounced his name correct. Basha's.
Oh yeah, Nathan Bashez. Yeah, Bashez. I don't know how to pronounce it either.
But he started doing 50 minute podcast. So I know he's also using Riverside, and I'm not sure if the overall. I do think it can be also interesting if people start promoting like posting more short amount of time of podcast. But I'm not sure if this is the overall trend, to be honest. Like, I'm also very biased by the users that are using Riverside, you know. So I can think everyone is starting doing video. Meanwhile, on general level, it might not be true at all.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why I like your platform. Like, it really, and to your point before, I think video is really important addition to audio, and you know, it's just another way to capture people's attention. Like, it baffles me that folks aren't, you know, adding the video component to their podcast, because it's not like it's that difficult, right? You just have your video on when you're doing the podcast.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you think is the constraint around that? Like, why are people afraid to add in that video component? Why aren't people doing it more?
Yes, it's a good question. I think people might be afraid to show their face on camera sometimes. Maybe it just, although video has been out there for a long time, right? So it's not entirely new. So in a way, it's more like podcasters have not really explored the video component. But I mean, there are hundreds and millions of interviews out there with video. So it's not that it's not been done, but I just think like podcasters might have opted for audio only because of that intimacy. And also maybe they were just felt more comfortable doing audio only. But I think this is going to change, though. I think they also probably like think, okay, we need to start doing video as well.
So you know, we talked about the video feature that you guys have, and I think that's really what makes your platform so great. What are other tools you guys are looking to introduce to the platform? You know, what are people requesting that is really important to gain more audience and to help, you know, as I always talk about, capturing attention?
Yeah. So, actually, we're doing quite a lot here in terms of features. So we're not really short-term looking into adding more features. Because at the end, you want to also be have the simplicity, right? So people know, okay, they come to Riverside, download audio, download video. Because we already have also the live stream component. And we also have the call-in component, so people can call in during the podcast. And that was also when I, in the beginning, I told you we built this platform to grow people's like audience. That was the main premise behind this platform. And that's actually also how it started. We thought this call-in feature can be really cool for people to have like interactive kind of podcast. So while we're recording, people can call in with their questions via video, and then you can accept or decline them into your show. And so we're not really looking at adding more features at the moment. We're more just UI stuff and like planning. Like you can already schedule, you can already make your podcast in advance, but like the whole scheduling parts. So I would say rather smaller iterations that will make the experience even better from podcasters and YouTubers.
So, you know, you talked about the call-in feature. What was the epiphany you guys had where a live and this interaction component is so part of it? What made you realize, oh, that had to be a feature that you guys needed in the in the platform?
So actually, it's a good question. Before this platform, we had a different platform. It was a debating platform. It was a live video debating platform for politicians. So in the Netherlands, we had it was quite well known. We had like the Dutch equivalent of Joe Biden debate on our platform. And we were using the same tech that we are using right now. So the idea was people would come on our platform, debate about the current topic, and then people could vote on the best debater. And the cool thing about the platform was people could go in via video and ask a question directly to a famous politician. So it was really like democratizing politics more. That was the idea behind that platform. And then we found we really had this unique tech. Why don't we pursue for podcasters? We thought podcasters could also really have value from that call-in feature. So that's why we started off with the whole call-in feature. That was sort of like our main selling point on our website as well. And like further, like, and then moving towards the, like more recently, we found that the whole local video and local audio might be even more important for podcasters and YouTubers.
So, you know, you talked about, you know, getting famous politicians onto your platform. What has been the biggest tactic for you guys in you know, acquiring all these amazing customers? Because you know, you have a lot of customers and some are really great ones, and you know, you don't have to mention them. But you know, what has been the biggest tactic that has helped you, you know, gain this traction and
have hustle.
Say it again.
Hustle.
Hustle.
yeah. Like we're just yeah, like slowly but surely you get some high profile guy, and then he or girl, and then he recommends you to someone else, and then word of mouth. So it's really like pushing the platform ourselves really hard, and then word of mouth has been quite good for us, like I said. So it's a bit of combination, like pushing it out there ourselves, and also because the platform is really like unique, it was rather easy to get these people on board. Whereas with the debating platform, I had to literally like call people like, hey, you want to debate? With Debater, I had actually an interesting growth mechanism, which also taught me a lot about growth. What I would do is when we had, let's say, two people debate on our platform. So just so people understand the whole idea here, debating platform was a platform before this platform. But what I would do then is like, let's say Joe Biden against Trump. I would say to Trump, hey, do you want to debate against Joe Biden? And I would leave a bit in the middle as if Joe Biden already said yes. And then I would say to Joe Biden, hey, do you want to debate against Trump? And then I got those high-level profile people like that.
I love the growth tactic there. So something for everyone to take away when they're thinking about, you know, launching a competitor to Riverside or the next big political debate platform. But Nadav, thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. Where can, you know, people find Riverside? Where can they find you on social media as well?
So the website is Riverside.fm, like we said, I think. And I'm at Twitter at Nadav Keyson, NadavKeyson. Yeah, great. And reach out to people. People can reach out to me. As you might have noticed yourself, I'm very I would love to speak to people that they just want to hear people's stories and how they think they can use Riverside, and I will allow the platform, and we give the best support.
Awesome. Well, really appreciate you having come on the podcast, and see everyone next time.
Sure.